This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutin. With me, Joyce Goh and Kusu Chuang, the top business stories of the day. Just a quick reminder that after the 8 o'clock bulletin, we'll be having the breakfast grill. And on the grill this morning, Tan Chung Han speaks to Kok Poi Hui, CFO of Xinhua Holdings, an integrated logistics service provider. So that's coming up after the 8 o'clock bulletin. But now it's time to look at the top news stories that we have before us. With the deadline to hold more stable funds under Basel III looming closer, banks are positioning to offer higher fixed deposit rates, especially for those above a six-month tenure.
Yeah, so bankers and analysts told StarBiz this was because such deposits are considered more stable under Basel III net stable funding ratio requirement, which is expected to be implemented in 2019. And they also foresee some pressures on net interest margins due to higher funding costs, which may impact earnings, especially for smaller banks. So we checked online, and a nine-month FD rate can be about 3.2%, 12-month FD rate can hit 3.65%.
Well, I think it's quite simple in layman's language. You want to have your banks lend as much money as they've got in their coffers. It's like, you know, I can't lend you money if I don't have it in my pocket, right? So you want to have a stable, a secure financial system that lends as much money as it has in its coffers and not to have a deficit. I think right now, the NSFR is around about 89%, which means that for every 100 bucks they lend, they've only got 89 bucks on their balance sheet, which is not enough.
That's an acronym I'm not familiar with, NSFR.
Net Stable Funding Ratio. Basically, it's funding which is stable in nature, which is longer than 6 months in duration.
Okay, so if rates go up, will people put more money into banks? Is that the logical conclusion?
Well, I guess, yeah, it depends on the person, whether you are a person who wants to save. But naturally, with higher rates, people want to put more money into the banks rather than to put it elsewhere if you're not very familiar.
Well, you know, the search for yield goes on untrammeled. Mm. And, you know, some of the more conservative members of society will still continue to see FD as the safest way, which it is. It's, you know, basically it's bank guaranteed up until what PIDM insurers, what, 250,000 ringgit, right?
Yeah, depending per account. On the...
Yeah. Beyond that is your own risk, lah. But yeah, that's the safest form of funding return that you've got possible.
Well, overall deposits growth trend has improved. If you look at Bank Negara statistics numbers, that has gone up. So the incrementally stronger deposits versus loan growth led to a slight improvement in the loan-to-deposit ratio. That has gone up to, it's 89.6% in August 2017 versus it's come down from 89.8% in July 2017.
So what is intriguing to me about the story, Joyce, this development really is the fact that banks seem to be moving independently of Bank Negara, or at least it seems that way, because Bank Negara has stayed pat on overnight policy rates since November last year, as you say, when they cut unexpectedly by, what is it, 20 basis points or something?
Yeah.
So I think, you know, in the last meeting, they also stayed pat on
July
rates.
July
last year. Mm. So right now, overnight policy rates are about 3%. Mm. If the banks, the commercial banks raise in Malaysia, does that mean they're moving independently of the central bank? Because they are tightening, whereas central bank is not.
But they're also looking at, they have to, well, there's the regulation that they have to adhere to. They also need to balance their margins and you know, their loan-deposit ratio to make sure that they have funds versus loan lending out. So they have to look at all these factors, right, for banks. There's so much going on for banks right now because regulation, after what happened, the banking crisis, they've got that regulation has increased so much for them. But of course, they will not go against Bank Negara.
So is it indicative? Are they leading indicators, for example? Will it signify a tightening of credit in the system? And what does that mean for the economy going forward? Because in terms of growth, you know, domestic consumption has been one of the leading factors behind our strong GDP in the last two quarters.
Yeah, speaking about deposit rates, what is the overnight policy rate today?
3%.
3%. 3%. And because this is really important for people who want to become homeowners and such, right? This is exactly where it impacts the man on the street, isn't it?
Yeah, the next monetary policy meeting is next month, 9th of November. So this is the last meeting for the year. Do you think there'll be a change in rates?
I don't know. I don't resemble Dato' Mohamed Ibrahim in the slightest. But what, you know, I mean, when you contrast what's happening in the US, right? In the US, what are the rates there now? 0.2% or 0.4% or whatever. It's been near or at near zero for the last, 9 years, right? And consumption there hasn't improved because obviously the sentiment there is very much different. We are 3% now. We've got lots of room to cut. We've also got lots of room to hike. So it's really a case of balancing both the consumers and the spenders.
Yeah, balancing the risk. Yeah, the risk surrounding the outlook for domestic growth and inflation. I think our inflation rate in August, it has gone up to 3.7%. From July was 3.2%. So it's been going up.
Yeah, and just yesterday, the Edge Daily ran with the whole issue of inflation rearing its ugly head if minimum wage were to be introduced in 2018, right? So obviously, if you have too much inflation, if costs rise too fast, it's not good for the economy, right?
But yeah, but you know, inflation is not necessarily a bad word. I mean,
America and in Japan and in Europe, they're dying for inflation. In Malaysia, where we've got a semblance of normality, rising costs are an issue. I mean, in India as well, inflation is a big issue.
Okay, speaking of finances, one bank is looking to boost its consumer banking business, and that's Affin Bank. Its CFO, Ramanathan Raju, said the bank will boost its retail deposit to meet new funding ratio rules by 2019. The bank is competing for mostly longer-term deposits to boost its net stable funding ratio to at least 100% from the current 70%.
So the rush to secure long-term deposits could pressure the bank's net interest margin amidst rising rates paid on deposits in the industry. So they still have to look into that whole margin thing that they're trying to balance because their net interest margins have stabilized recently. So now with all these, they're rushing for deposits that might impact their margins again.
Okay.
We also saw some numbers. I think, you know, talking about consumption as well, we've got this very interesting economic metric, which is a lagging indicator, but a good indicator nonetheless, which is car sales. I think September numbers have just come out. I think a year-on-year drop of 14.8%, call it 15%. Notwithstanding the fact that it was actually a short month because of the number of public holidays we had, it's also indicative of sentiment. And I wonder whether this is telling a sign that people are getting a little bit, there's a bit of fatigue in the system in terms of car sales.
Yeah, but people are spending, aside from cars, so looking at like spending, retail spending at some places like malls and all that. Yesterday, I spoke to Dato Joyce Yap from Pavilion, and she says that the shopping mall business may change, but I mean, the business model is changing, but people are still spending in a way, you know. It's just that they have to change with the times.
So consumer habits are changing.
Yeah, correct.
Right, and how they spend and where
trends, they... Yeah, mm-hmm. You can download that interview from the BFM app.
Yeah. Just coming back to the car story, we have some numbers coming out of Rolls-Royce. Interesting, because that's a market segment that, you know, I never walk into these Rolls-Royce showrooms.
I don't dare to walk into the showroom.
But what do we know about the Rolls-Royce sales, Joyce?
So Rolls-Royce Motor Cars KL says that demand for super luxury automobiles are continue to be strong, with domestic market having a penchant for some of the most bespoke Rolls-Royce cars.
Well, just the other day, I saw quite a young chap in Bangsa in his Rolls-Royce convertible top down so his hair could blow, or rather the lack thereof, because he was, you know, follically challenged. But yeah, I just want to recall Brian's interview with Rolls-Royce a few weeks ago. He talked to the head honcho of, I think, Asia, and he said that the average age of the Rolls-Royce buyer in the world today is 40 years old.
It's dropping.
It's dropping.
That's young, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know, when you look at global growth trends, right, in terms of income and wealth, what we've known is, and we've had some recent studies, is the middle classes, especially in Asia and the developing world, have had their incomes grow, you know, rather dramatically. But so have the 1% across the world. The 1% is just doing so much better, than everybody else. And clearly, a Rolls-Royce and luxury goods will be the ones to benefit most from this.
Yeah, it was mentioned at the event yesterday, yet the demand for super luxury cars looks to be recession-proof.
It is recession-proof. I mean, the 1%, they don't care whether the economy is in a U-shape or an N-shape. But, you know, the base price for a Rolls-Royce, I saw on Paultime.org, is 2.2 million ringgit basic basic list price, right?
And so, then so the number goes up. So this is the car without all the mod cons. What is it?
This without the bespoke
already got mod cons,
factor.
But if you don't have polka dots and, you know, Rod Stewart on your bonnet, then you
but
can.
But you still have leather. Do you have leather upholstery?
Yeah,
or is that extra?
Yeah. Acres of dead trees and animals in the car.
Is that envy speaking? Is that somebody who passed by Rolls-Royce speaking?
Maybe he was shopping. He was looking around, surveying.
Yeah. He's got the numbers. He clearly was.
Yeah.
I was surfing.
You have aspirations, Chuang. You have aspirations. Okay. Now, we're coming up to the top of the hour. We're going to have the news bulletin, because then we'll be back with The Breakfast Grill. Tan Chung Han speaks to Kok Po Hui, the CFO of Xinhua Holdings. Stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.